Everybody, as we know, today is the communal commemoration of Yom HaAtzmaut, and I'd like to continue the conversation that we started a couple of days ago. One of the great tzaddikim in the 1700s was a personality known by Rav Shmelka Mnikolsburg, and he was one of the great Hasidish rebbes in his generation. He passed away in 1778, and the story is told about him that every Erev Shabbos he had a practice that he would allow all of the local aniyim, all of those poor people who were in need of his help, to come to his home. And he would give out tremendous sums of money to all of them to try and help them as much as he possibly can. So, one Friday afternoon, he has a long line of people, much more than usual. And as it comes to the last person who's standing online, he realizes that he's left with absolutely nothing to give anymore. All of the sums of money that he had in his house, he had given out. And this last poor man is waiting online, and he has nothing more to give him. But he felt such compassion, such benevolence, and he said, "How can I turn this man away?" So he asked him to please wait. And he starts rummaging through his house to see maybe he can find some money hidden away somewhere. And he sees that there was nothing that he can possibly find. But he wouldn't give up, and he wouldn't stop. And he finally goes under his wife's pillow, and he finds the beautiful ring that he had bought her many years before. And he says, "You know what? This is something that you can take. I'd like you to have this because I have nothing else that I can possibly give you." Poor man is overly excited. He's overjoyed over the fact that he walked away with a very expensive ring. And a few minutes go by, and he says to himself, "You know, maybe it was worthwhile for me to be the last one on the line. After all, I came out richer than everybody else." A couple more minutes go by, and Rebbetzin Shmelka Mnikolsburg walks into the house and sees that the house is upside down, and she asks her husband what happened, and he says, "You know, I turned everything upside down to look for something to give to this poor fellow standing by the door, and all I could find was your beautiful ring that was hidden under the pillow. That's what I gave him." And she is outraged. She can't believe it. "How did you give this away? It's an outrageous amount of money. It's so excessively important. How can you give it away? It's the rare and unusual diamond that it has in there. Why would you give that away to the poor man?" So immediately he turns around, he runs out of the house, and he starts chasing after this poor man. Poor man turns around, and he sees Rav Shmelka is running after him, so he starts to run faster. He says, he obviously realized all of a sudden that he gave me something he shouldn't have given away. Finally, the Hasidim realize that there's an issue here, and they surround this poor gentleman, and they say to him, "Look, you know, the Rebbe obviously gave you something that he wasn't really happy to give, so maybe you should give it back to him." So Rav Shmelka Mnikolsburg finally catches up with him, and he says, "No. I have a policy in life. When I give things away to people, they're allowed to keep them. Doesn't matter if I made a mistake. Doesn't matter if I did the right thing, the wrong thing." He says, "This was a ring that I bought for my wife. I'll buy her another ring. It's not a problem. That's not why I'm running away. It's not why I'm running after you. The reason why I'm trying to catch up with you is because I'm concerned. You don't know anything about jewelry. You don't know anything about diamonds. And I have a concern that maybe you're going to go to the market and someone's going to undercut you because you don't fully appreciate the value of this very rare and expensive diamond. And therefore," he said, "just make sure that when you go to sell it and make money off of it, make sure that you fully understand how expensive it really is and how much you really deserve for the valuable piece of jewelry that I gave you." So the following Shabbos after this took place, Rav Shmelka Mnikolsburg came to his tish, and all the Hasidim were sitting around, and they were waiting to hear how is he going to address the story that just took place on Erev Shabbos. So he comes to the Tish Friday night and he says the following. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, "Matana tova yesh li bebeis genazi," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "I have a very special gift that I have in my storage house. V'Shabbos Shema," and that gift is something by the name of Shabbos. "V'ani rotza litna li Yisrael," the Gemara says that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu in advance that he plans to give the gift of Shabbos. We all know what a gift Shabbos is. He plans to give the gift of Shabbos to the Jewish people. However, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Before I give it to them, lech vehodiyam, go and inform them that I am going to give them the gift," which is very strange. Nowhere else do we find that God tells us in advance, "I'm going to give you the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm going to give you the mitzvah of everything else, of blowing shofar, of shaking the lulav." All of a sudden, when it comes to Shabbos, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lech vehodiyam, please inform the Jewish people in advance of this great gift of Shabbos." And Rav Shmelka said he never understood why was it important for God to inform Moshe Rabbeinu in advance and tell him to tell the Jewish people. And the answer, he said, he now understands, is because we have so many gifts in our lives. And unless somebody points it out to us, how lucky we are and how profound of a gift it is, and the magnitude and the expense of the gift that we are being given, and the great value and appreciation that we're supposed to have for it, We sometimes might not fully understand it on our own. And therefore, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have the most important gift that I want to give to the Jewish people, and that is called Shabbos. But I want to make sure that they fully value and appreciate what the gift is all about. Lech vehodiyam. Go and inform them what Shabbos really is, and let them know what I am about to give them. And I think when we come to an appreciation, a day of appreciation, what Yom HaAtzmaut is really supposed to be, a day for us to appreciate and value the gift that we all have, this is a day for us to fully understand how precious of a gift it is. Don't allow yourself to sell yourself short and say, oh, okay, I live with Eretz Yisrael over the last 70 years, it's not so exciting anymore. It's not really such a major part of my life. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Lech vehodiyam, when I have something special, make sure you make yourself aware. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to teach us how valuable of a gift it really is. We know, we just are getting over the Yom Tov of Pesach, and we have so much talk about Kriyas Yom Suf, and we have the second days of Pesach are fully celebrating the miracle of Kriyas Yom Suf, and many Darshanim have tried to figure out. The Ribbono Shel Olam was performing miracle after miracle throughout the time in Mitzrayim. And he has Dam, Sephardea, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shchin, Barad, each one was greater than the next, Makas Bechoros, and finally the culmination is when we get to Kriyas Yom Suf. So it's a beautiful thing, and it's an astounding moment that the Jewish people live through. But at the same time, I'm not so convinced that it was any more amazing than anything else that happened in Mitzrayim. I wasn't there to experience what Dam was like, what Sfardea and Makas Bechoros. So why are we so convinced that Kriyas Yom Suf was so much more of a profound miracle than anything that had happened until that point? Many answers have attempted to be given to this question, but one of the Darshanim suggests, I couldn't remember where it was, I think I saw it once in Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, but maybe it's not there. If it's not him, you'll forgive me, someone else said it, and the answer that was suggested is as follows. The miracle of splitting the sea itself, you're right, that was no greater than anything else. The moment of the split was just as great as the moment where the Dam came in, and the Tzvardeya, and the Makas Bechoras went into effect. All of those were equal. The profundity of the miracle was not the original splitting of the water. What was amazing about this miracle was that Hamayim Lahem Choma Miminam Umismolam. The Jewish people didn't just walk through in an instant. It took them probably hours and hours, or maybe days, to get across the Yom Suf. What was amazing about it was, and the true profundity of the miracle was, that for all that time while the Jews were there, God maintained the miracle. And God was able to continue for the water to remain apart, that the Jewish people should not drown while they were going through. That is a suggestion as to why it is that we get so excited about Kriyas Yom Suf, that for an extended period of time, the miracle continued to happen. And as you continue to invest in that miracle taking place, the people begin to have a greater and deeper appreciation of what that miracle really is. If it's able to be sustained, if it's able to be continued on, that makes the miracle even greater. It's not just the moment of the miracle happening, it's the continuation and the continuum of the miracle that makes it great. And perhaps this is what it means when the Gemara says, Kasha zivugam shaladam kikriyas yamsif. We know the Gemara says that there's some sort of equation that we make between people getting married and the miracle of Kriyas Yom Suf. And everybody's tried to figure out, what is that equation? How do we put those two life events together? What do they have a connection with each other? Perhaps the answer is, getting married is very easy. You can go on a date, you can meet a girl, you can say Hariyah Mekudeshesli, you have two Adim there. It's not so hard to technically get married. The great miracle is when a person knows how to figure out how to stay married and how to invest in the relationship and make it stronger. That's when we really require a miracle of perseverance, and that is what the Gemara perhaps means to say. Kasha zivugam shaladam kekriyas yamsuf. The same profundity of the miracle that it took for the yamsuf to remain in its state, v'hamayim lahem chomam miminam mismolam, that is the miracle of the relationship of a marriage, that a person not only gets married technically, but remains married and invests in that relationship and makes it stronger. And maybe that's what it means as well. The Gemara also tells us that when we talk about Parnassa, so Parnassa is not an easy thing for anybody, but the Gemara says, Kasha mizonosav shaladam kikriyas yamsuf. When it comes to having a Parnassa, that is also in some way comparable to Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not so difficult for a person to land themselves a job. The difficult part is, will you continue to excel? Will you continue to strive in that position that you're in? Will you be able to invest in the right companies? Will you be able to make the people who you work with happy? That is the true challenge, and maybe that's what it means, that Kashem is anosav shaladam kirkriyas yamsav. Having Eretz Yisrael, it's true. It is an amazing gift. And it's true, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this Matana Tova 70 years ago, and everybody celebrates it, and it's a wonderful thing. But what makes the gift even more profound, what makes it even more special for all of us, is the fact that over the last 70 years, Hamayim Lahem Choma Miminam Umismolam, that we've been able to have the ability to maintain and to sustain and defend and to uphold and safeguard that gift. That's what makes the gift even greater. I'd just like to turn our attention just to one final point before we dive in Mincha. The Psukim in Parshas Va'era tell us when the Jewish people were on the precipice of being freed, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu first tells them, before performing any of the Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs them that he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim and he's going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. But if you look carefully in the Psukim, there's a very specific verb that is used of our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Says the Pasuk there in Parshas Va'era, and I will take all of you out of Mitzrayim, and I will elevate you and bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Laseis osa laAvram leYitzchak uleYaakov, v'nasati osa lachem morasha ani Hashem. Here you have two different usages in the pasuk in the way that we are introduced to our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Number one, we are told that it is a matana. Number two, we are told that it is a yerusha. And these are very different experiences. There's a major difference between a matana, which is a gift, and a yerusha, which is something that is an inheritance. Those are not the same at all, and there are advantages and benefits to either, and disadvantages to both. When you have a yerusha, generally the assumption is that that is not conditional. Generally the assumption is that a yerusha is not contingent, it is not dependent. If you are a child and the parent passes away, you are going to get the yerusha. That's the way it normally works. Even if perhaps throughout life you may have not followed in the footsteps of the parents, generally we assume that a yerusha will go down to the next of kin regardless, even if you might not be deserving, even if you might not be worthy. When it comes to a matana, that is not at all the circumstance. That is not at all the case. When we come to a matana, that is something that is completely conditional. That is something that has to be earned. That is not absolute, and it fluctuates. Depending on how much I like a person is how much I'm willing to give them. If I like the person very much, I will give them a lot. If I don't like them, I won't give them anything. That is the nature of a matana, which is very different than the nature of a yerusha. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, there's a discussion there about what did a parent mean to give away to their children by a matna shchiv meira. So the Gemara has a discussion there, and it says, if not for the fact that I really like this person and they did something for me during my lifetime that made me very happy, I wouldn't give a gift to somebody if I really didn't like them. And the more I like them, the more I give. So that's the major difference that we find between a matana and a yerusha. Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says in Parshas Va'era, was given to us both as a yerusha, but also as a matana. What does that mean? I believe it means, I don't know it's true, but I believe maybe it means that there's a baseline matana that every Jewish person is entitled to. There's a baseline gift of Eretz Yisrael that every Jew will be able to appreciate. But that's moderated, that's very superficial. And the gift can end there. It's just a yerusha. You get whatever you get just by the fact that you are a card-carrying member of the Jewish people. However, we all have that ability to have a more enhanced and a more intensified relationship with Eretz Yisrael, and that is b'toras matana. The more you invest in your relationship with it, the more the Ribbono Shel Olam will want to give you the profound gift of Eretz Yisrael and make you understand how lucky you are to have it. Those two experiences are not at all the same, and the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us from the outset. When he promises us the gift of Eretz Yisrael, he says it is not simply a gift, it is also a Yerusha. But understand that you have the opportunity to make it into a gift, which means, Ilav Tehavile Hanamine, if the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't love us, he wouldn't give it to us. And the more he loves us, the more he gives us. The more he gives us, the more we appreciate it. That is the extreme blessing that we have of being part of a relationship in which we have not only a Yerusha, but also a Matana. But this is not the only place in Chumash where we find both of these verbs being used. Yerusha and Matana is used as well when we talk about our relationship with the Torah. So very famously, the Psukim say, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kihilas Yaakov, that the Torah for us is considered an inheritance. It's something that we have as a birthright. Whether we behave or we don't, we have a right. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. We all have a right to take part in the experience of learning Torah, of being part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's people. But at the same time, the Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayiten al Moshe kechalo so. The Pasuk says the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu after he finished speaking to him. And Chazal say in Maseches Nedarim, That means shenatna lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'matana kekala lechasen. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu like a chasen and kala, exchange gifts. This was not only a morasha, the Torah was not just a Yerusha, but we say every day in our davening, every day in the Birchas HaTorah, we say, you are the nosen HaTorah, you give us a gift, which means the more that you invest in your relationship with the Torah, the more you will appreciate, and the greater the gift will be. The more the Ribbono Shel Olam will give you, because that is the nature of a gift, that's what it is. It's not simply a Yerusha, it's more than a Yerusha, it's so much more profound, it is so much more accentuated, it's something you have the ability to appreciate even more. And finally, the last place where we find this is with regard to the gift of Shabbos. And by Shabbos, we say in our davening every single Shabbos, "V'lo nesato Hashem Elokeinu l'goy ha'aratzos, v'lo hinchalto malkeinu la'ovdei psilim." We say both of these terminologies as well. Shabbos is on the one hand a matana. Shabbos on the other hand is also a Yerusha. A person can enter into Shabbos and just have the experience, baseline experience, I have a day off from work, I go and I attend the Kiddush, and I have a great meal, and I have a good nap, and I have a great time, and Shabbos is wonderful. But Shabbos can be so much more than that. Shabbos as a matana has the ability to make a person feel and understand how great of a gift this is, to connect so much more. The neshama yaseir that you're given has the ability to be based on how much you invest in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This is perhaps why in these three places we find Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos, and the Torah itself, that we find the Torah describes our relationship with it not only as a Yerusha, but also as a Matana. As we spend the day trying to appreciate what Eretz Yisrael means to all of us, and how lucky we are to be blessed living in the generation that we do and having this gift, we also understand that a gift is not only something that is given to those who have a birthright. It's something that the more one invests in the relationship, the greater and more profound the understanding and appreciation of the gift will actually be. And that is something that Eretz Yisrael avails us the opportunity to have, just as Shabbos does, and just as our opportunity to engage in Talmud Torah does as well. Reb Hanani ben Akasher Omer.